Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
There's a little black spot on your head today. I guess it must mean today is Ash Wednesday.
Yes, this time of 40 days is here, and that has kind of become the Ash Wednesday anthem here on Good Things Radio. It's called This Time of 40 Days by Nick Alexander, and last year, Jennifer Willits and I played that in pretty much any excuse that I can find to fire that thing up, I will take. So that kind of sets the theme of the program today. Here we are, friends. Welcome to Good Things Radio, episode number 44. My name is Brooke Taylor. Today's title is Come Back to Me, Preparing for Lent and Readying Our Hearts for Repentance, for Renewal, to Receive the Graces that God has just waiting for us. But how can we awaken our senses to receive them? That's what we're going to talk about on today's program. Father Nathan Cromley will join us to talk about the power of prayer and fasting, and he's even going to teach us a new word. I've never heard of this. He rocked my world, and it's called concupiscopal. Try saying that five times fast. Concupiscopal. What is that? Why is it important to know what a concupiscopal passion is? He's got some pretty powerful words, so he will share that with us in the house, our Padre in Your Pocket feature. We also have listener feedback and yet another retreat update. All good news. So let's do this. And as St. John Vianney said, prayer is the inner bath of love which the soul plunges itself. And not only does a warm soul bath sound good, but it feels good. So let's do that now. I love that. The thought that prayer is an inner bath of love which the soul plunges itself. And we need that. You can feel when you're missing that from our lives. So we're going to start that. And today, as we prepare, this is such a big week with Mardi Gras and Ash Wednesday and Valentine's Day is coming up. This is a busy month, but we are going to prepare with a prayer of dying to self as we think about Ash Wednesday. So if you would join us as we take this soul bath, here we go. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The song of ashes seems as pronounced as the single note of a bell. God invites us into the mystery of death, becoming unbelievable birth. Come into my sacred heart and meet my compassionate voice. O Christ, from what are we dying? Into what are we birthing? The questions ring in the solemn clang of the Lenten bells. Something of the sound reveals his love, telling us to abandon fear and enter the place where the questions of the heart are resolved. The song of ashes is at once frightening and inviting. We have no choice but to respond and begin once again the marvelous walk into life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you talk about Lent, so much of it is there that it's actually, for me, always a challenge. It's a beautiful challenge, but to somehow condense it and encapsulate it into one episode that will do it justice, and an episode that's not two hours long, which would be easy to do, because I want to bring in the history, the life, the theology behind it, but also the beauty, the prayer, and then the practical ways, day-to-day, that we can live it out. And so I think last year when I went back and listened to our episode, episode number 4 with Jennifer Willits and I think we did a good job of covering the history behind Lent, the what and why of it. And if that's what you're looking for, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. It's episode number 4 with Good Things Radio, Jennifer Willits and I. And today we're going to cover a little bit of that too, but more of the how to spiritually enter into the season and what does that look like. And I love that one of our listeners, Christina, just in the nick of time, time sent this feedback to us. She was kind enough to share her plans and the mindset of her Lenten journey as she's packing up spiritually and going out into the desert with the Lord. And this actually made me tear up. So I want to share it with you as we begin. Listen to her perspective.
Hello, Brooke. It's Christina. I just wanted to touch base about Lent as it approaches this week. And last year on Good Friday, I remember walking into the church and just feeling the most incredible sense of mourning that I had ever felt before. You know, I've always went on Good Friday and I've always known what the day was about and known, you know, and been in that moment. But last year, I just had an overwhelming sense. And I think it's because of the relationship that I had with Jesus during the last year. And knowing that my best friend died and that that's what I was remembering and that he died for me. And so that feeling in my heart is what I was just recalling when I was praying about what this Lent was, you know, what's God want it to look like for me. And then I thought, what if we did have just 40 days left with our best friend? How would we spend that? And what would we do? Would we share memories and joys and laughter and tears? And how would we prepare our hearts for that? And even though we know that Jesus is going to rise, just preparing, I think, for his death and all of that is just kind of what my focus is going to be. Just how can I spend, you know, these 40 days with my best friend? And when you do that and you spend time with your best friends and you sacrifice for them and you give for them, you know, how could we do that for Jesus? So I think that's kind of where I'm going this year, and I will definitely be able to touch base and let you know, and I'm so excited for the retreat and to see where this leads me. So I hope everyone has, you know, the most blessed journey and the Lent that, you know, God's voice is calling each of us to do. Talk to you soon. Bye.
And to kind of dovetail on that, Father Nathan Cromley is in the house with us today for a special edition of Padre in Your Pocket.
Padre.
As we approach Ash Wednesday and the first step of the Lenten journey, we want to be ready. I mean, if you're going to go on a trip, you hopefully prepare your things, you tie up your affairs, and you set out with a purpose. And so it is with this Lenten pilgrimage. We want to be ready to hear the voice of God as he calls, "Come back to me with all your heart." That's the mission. And in order to really do that, we need to be prepared. So Padre in Your Pocket today, this episode, is the lantern of light for this particular topic, Father Nathan Cromley from St. John Institute and Eagle Eye Ministries. And he's going to hold that light to guide us on this ancient path of how to see before us this way to Christ on this Lenten journey, starting with Ash Wednesday as we take the first step. Father Nathan, first of all, for all that are listening that might not be Catholic, could you explain why? I know technically Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation, but it is such a profoundly significant day. So for those who aren't sure or aware, those that just need a refresher, could you tell us why it's so important?
Absolutely. You know, the fundamental thing that moves us forward as Christians is the sense that there's a God and that we're not him. And honestly, I think it's astounding. Ash Wednesday is one of those days where the churches tend to be filled. I remember my time as a Newman Center chaplain at a university where we'd have on a Sunday, we might have 150 students, but on Ash Wednesday, we'd have 750. We'd have four masses all over the campus. And the reason why I think it's so popular is that deep down inside, all of us really want to have a being who is superior to us, from whom we come and towards which we're going. It's a reminder that it's okay to be mortal. And it's okay, therefore, to receive God's mercy. And I think it's a reminder that we all need today.
Well, and part of that beginning step is remembering that we are dust and to dust we shall return. As the priest makes a sign of the cross on our forehead, or in some other cultures, they might sprinkle the ashes on top of your forehead, whatever the case might be. But that's just the beginning of the opening moment of our eyes and our hearts that we need to repent and to reform and to have a revolution of heart. So part of Lent is those three pillars. It's prayer and fasting and almsgiving. Can you kind of get us in gear as to why that's so important?
Yes, absolutely. Let's start with prayer. In prayer, my soul breathes. I love that analogy. It comes back from the analogy of the monastic rhythm between prayer and work, where the monks would say they go into the chapel and it's like them breathing in. And when they leave the chapel to go to the fields to work, it's like them breathing out. And then they come back into the chapel and breathe in, so to speak, and go back out to work and breathe out. The understanding is very simple. My prayer is my contact of love with my Father. And therefore, it's also the spot that centers me. I know who I am when I know whose I am. Fasting. This is something that we usually emphasize as a negative. And I'd like to turn it on its head for a second. You don't fast in a sense of depriving yourself. You fast in a sense of making yourself hungry for what really matters. In other words, what you're depriving yourself of is your distraction, so that your heart can be free to feast on the deep things of life, good conversations, good time with your family, deep moments with your God. I would like to suggest, for example, that you fast from Facebook. I know that this is a simple thing because people, but my gosh, the amount of time we spend on Facebook. And if you were to say, okay, that's impossible, Father Nathan. You don't understand. Without Facebook, I just would die. Well, I'm convinced some people might, actually. So out of care for them.
Well, maybe that's a good sign right there, yeah, that you need to fast.
Well, exactly. What you can do is I want you to cut your Facebook time in half and give that one half of your Facebook time to your faith book, that is, to God's Bible. And if you spent one half of your Facebook time on your faith book, I bet by the end of Lent, your life will be transformed. In other words, you fast from what is secondary so as to feast on what is primary.
I love that. And I can remember just the creativity of kids, too. You know, there was one year that I had gone to Guatemala and brought back pictures. And for my kids, they had never seen poverty like that. And these are dirt floors and the children sleep on the ground. So much so did it impact one of my boys that he gave up his bed for Lent. He wanted to just sleep on the floor. And then he had horrible back aches, and so that didn't last. But I love how you can take it beyond the food and in the nourishment in a way of eating and drinking, but also other things creatively. Fast from, if it's a woman, wearing makeup or spending a certain amount, you know, on clothes or something. And then give that's part of the almsgiving, maybe give that to the poor. But could you talk just a little bit about the act of fasting in a food way? Because that's something that I know is scriptural. I know it's something that the Desert Fathers did all the way up until now, and there's such breakthroughs that come. But I haven't actually done it or done it right. Could you maybe give a couple starter tips?
When it comes to fasting from food, let's always remember that the guidelines of the church here always leave it up to the individual. And that's important. That is, what the church requires is that on the Fridays of Lent, you don't eat meat. And on Ash Wednesday and on Good Friday, you fast, which means you have one simple meal and two lighter, they say, snacks or lighter meals. And you know that they're light. The definition is that the two of them added together don't equal a second meal. So the idea here is that you have a minimal amount. But there's a lot, that's all that's really specified. And why that's important for us is that individually, we then have that freedom to find the fast that best works for us. And it's not so much in the quantity of not eating that's important, but depriving yourself from easy gratification. Now, why is that important? Here's a neat thing. There's two types of passions in the person, two ways that things draw us. The first is a big word. It's called the concupiscible. Now, I don't know why we invent such difficult words. It's bad PR. But the concupiscible passions are the way that we're moved for things that are easy. And then the irascible passions are the ways that we're moved by things that are hard. And what happens is, if your concupiscible passions are too easily gratified, so when you're cold, you put on a sweater, and when you are hungry, you eat, and when you feel a little urge for something, you put in a chai latte Keurig tea, you know, with double cinnamon spice in it, right? What's going to happen is that you're not going to hear the voice of those other passions that say, go after what's hard, discipline yourself, exercise, be on your knees for your prayers, read your Bible, because you're spending your time constantly being satisfied. So the idea, really simply, is to not be so satisfied with your food so that you can also remember to focus on and achieve the things that are harder, like playing with your children, like talking to your husbands about what interests them. Great Lenten fast. Count the number of times that you talk about what interests you and find out how many times you've talked about what interests him. It's like the challenges. Praising a person, for example, who's annoying. Reaching out. Reaching out to encourage someone who actually is always depressed. It's like those are things that you're going to do only if you're stimulated to go after those things by, in a sense, depriving yourself from constantly being satisfied in an easy way.
Now I'm going to be self-conscious the next time you praise me.
No need.
Father, I want to ask you, before we get to almsgiving, I want to go back quickly to prayer, because recently when you were talking, it made me think of some of the friends I've encountered, one who went through a devastating loss, another who's been really sick, another who's gone through very traumatic marriage troubles, and they are saying, I can't pray. Thanks for praying for me because I can't pray. And that is so foreign to them. But in our lives, certainly this period of desolation or dryness will occur. And how do we get out of that or go beyond what we if we just can't, or someone who's really sick and saying, I can't? And I've heard that idea of every beat of your heart can be a prayer. How do you respond to that?
There's a story one time of a priest who was making a holy hour in a church, and a woman came in with many children, and she knelt down to pray, and the children began to make noise. They were running around a little bit. They were knocking on the pews. And the priest who was there praying by himself began to get frustrated, because here these children were running around and the mother wasn't doing anything about it. And so he walked over to the woman and he said, excuse me, ma'am, but doesn't it bother you that none of your children are looking at Jesus? And the woman looked at him and said, Father, no, because I know that Jesus is looking at them. And of course, you know, we need to do our best to pray. Sometimes you just can't, but what you can do is go and sit in front of him. Maybe you can't find words to express your heart, but you can still move your heart to sit there. And silence sometimes is a very deep and profound prayer. You need to give what you can to God. On the other hand, though, I think it's always reassuring for us to remember that some of the things that we can always do to take advantage of is to realize that God is looking at us, and opening ourselves to his gaze upon us, that there's sometimes he carries us.
And finally, we want to talk about almsgiving. We want to be doers of the word. And we want to, in a meaningful way, not for ourselves, for our families, for our church, to be able to give back in a way that will show faithful service in the vineyard. And can you offer some tips on that?
You know what? I had a woman one time give me a neat idea. She told me, you know what I'm going to do? I realized that I shop just in a sense to burn off my stress, that I get anxious about things and shopping is my release. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take every month the amount that of money that I would have spent shopping, and I'm going to give it to a charity for 1 year. All right, ladies, here's an idea. I'd like you to do that for 2 months. Could you not just say, during this Lent, I'm not going to go shopping for myself. I actually do have enough shoes. And so instead, I'm going to take that exact amount of money and tithe it away. Or think about another thing that you do. Maybe it's Keurig coffee. well, maybe you could shift over to something else, tea bags, for example, or whatever that's cheaper. Take that amount that you were going to spend on yourself for a normal, legitimate way of you know, I don't know, luxury in a sense, and give that amount, even if it's small, away. That act of almsgiving always hurts us because money, in a sense, is like an extension of ourselves. But remember, if you keep grain together in a big barrel, it will rot. It's the same thing with money. There comes a time where only by giving it do we really understand what it means to have it.
Oh, that's beautiful. I feel like you've given us a little mini retreat just as we're beginning our Lenten journey. And at the end, the bookend will be the Arise retreat as we approach Holy Week. So what a gift for all the attendees. Before we wrap up, I just have one more question about the preparation of our hearts, because for myself, somewhat of a type A personality, I want to plan it all out. There's a pull between simplicity but purpose. I want to know what I'm doing and figure out what I'm adding, what I'm giving up, how I'm going to incorporate additional spiritual readings. And so often by the culmination of Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, I think, man, that wasn't my best effort, or I'm disappointed. And I guess in reflecting on this question, what I've discovered, I think, is that God is less concerned with how I show up and just that I need to show up. So how can we show up fully and completely and let the Holy Spirit take over? Can you plan too much? Can you plan not enough? Is there a sweet spot in between?
I've got an easy piece of advice for you there. When it comes to Lent, why don't you let the Holy Spirit lead you into the desert? Jesus's 40 days were not something that he pre-planned and that he packed his bags for. He went into the baptism, and then it says in the Gospel of Mark that the Spirit drove him into the desert. God is waiting for you this Lent, ladies. What you want to do is open yourself to the deep workings that he has for you. It's not just a question of if you're going to accomplish your Lenten resolutions. You kind of need those because it keeps the car moving forward, so to speak. But the real work isn't in your Lenten resolutions. The real work is in your union with God. That's why I really want to encourage you to not just make a resolution of deprivation, although that's important, but also to make a resolution of feeding. In other words, what am I going to do to hear his voice better? And if you make one positive as well as one negative, I think you've done enough, in the sense that now the doors are open, and when Jesus wants to come in the way that he wants to come, he will. Because we have to, in a certain sense, let go of our Lent a little bit so as to embrace Jesus. So otherwise, we're trying so hard to live our Lent that we might miss his presence simply in our life, where he's shining forth to see us and be seen by us.
And I feel like we just kind of came away from that with Advent. That can be, you know, the same seeking of balance in that regard. So thank you. And how can we pray for you?
It's always important to pray for your priests. Your priests are men who are trying to serve you. So whenever you want to know how to pray for a priest, you want to entrust him and his priesthood to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady, Mother of Priests. In other words, take all of that desire you have for him and think, that's just a small little reflection of what Our Lady wants to do for him. And then lift him up to her. And of course, that is the greatest thing you can do for anybody, is bring that person closer into the arms of God and closer into the arms of those who love him.
Amen. Thank you, Father Nathan. And our Padre in your pocket word of the day is?
Concupiscopal.
Okay, I got it. Thank you. Thank you, Father Nathan. It's hard to add any more than that. Wow. Bless you. And we do entrust you, Father Nathan, and all of the priests to the Sacred Heart of Our Lady. Thank you. Thank you for your guidance as always. And by the way, Father Nathan will be our retreat master for the Arise retreat, which as I record this is just about 1 month away. It'll be 1 month on Ash Wednesday, which is March 10th, the date of the retreat
February 10th is coming up this Wednesday. So there's so much going on that, again, like the Lent topic, it's really hard to condense it down to just a few seconds. But I want to offer a quick thank you to another one of our generous donors from Holy by Design. They are kind enough, generous enough to contribute to the goodie bag. My awesome retreat assistant, mom of 10, homeschool supermom, is also assisting with this retreat. And she left me a message about this. Wanted to share it with you. Take a listen.
Hi, Brooke. It's Marie. Well, it's time for another happy dance. I just visited Holy by Design Religious Goods Store out in the Hartville Marketplace and received the items that will go into our gift bags for the ladies on the retreat. There's this beautiful package that Celeste Grenchy made up for us, and it's filled with a beautiful bookmark for the Holy Year of Mercy, a inspirational scented pencil, and a inspirational Key to Heaven pocket charm is what it's called. And it's all packaged in this beautiful, like a small little plastic bag with this beautiful white and blue and silver ribbon. And she also attached a nice little 10% off your next purchase coupon. Just all beautifully packaged and something that's going to be so nice in the gift bags for the ladies. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I will bring these to you on Monday. And I'll also send a picture as soon as I can get a good picture of it. I'm in my car right now, but I'll send you a photo of what it looks like. So just wanted to share that good news. See you soon. Bye-bye.
I am doing a happy dance. You can't see it, but it's awkward and wonderful. So thank you so much, Marie. And next month is going to be just super busy as we prepare. So I just ask humbly for your prayers, if you'd be so kind. And it already kind of kicked off the busyness anyway this past weekend with an event with Christopher West. We hosted St. Gabriel Media, which is our ministry, hosted Christopher West at Walsh University. It was kind of a spur of the moment Holy Spirit thing, as sometimes the Lord works quickly, and that was the case here. And if you don't know him, I encourage you to visit theologyofthebody.net, but he is a world-renowned speaker on the teachings of St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body. And he brought in a full house on Friday and a standing ovation. And I just wanted to share some of the notes that I took because I wanted to impart a little bit of that wisdom with you. I've seen him a couple times live, but every time, you know how it is if someone is so good that it doesn't matter if you hear them half a dozen times. Every time you listen, you hear something different jump out at you. So some of the notes that I took, because he talks about sexuality, man and woman and God's design and how it all fits together in this cosmic dance. And he says, if someone gets pregnant, it does not mean something went wrong, but that something went beautifully right. And I love the truth in that, because we take for granted sometimes the ordinary miracles that happen every day, like the sun rising every day. If you sit and actually, as a mother monk or, you know, a father, just lay person, contemplative, the miracle of the cosmos, it really is jaw-dropping. And that's something that we just kind of wake up and go about our day and take for granted. The sun's going to rise. Same thing with babies. And it's not that it's a burden or a problem, but it's a miracle. And that's something that is worth stopping and celebrating. He also says, do you want to know what is the most beautiful, most sacred, most holy in the world? Look at that, at which is attacked most violently. And that's the family. And as the family goes, so does the society, and so does the country, the nation, and the world. And I really appreciated that perspective as well. And the family needs to be protected. And also, he said, when Paul went into Athens, he said to them, I have studied your idols, and I see that you are a very religious people. And I love that, because it was kind of a little tactic in terms of evangelizing, that, you know, our culture, although it's really kind of a post-Christian nation, if you're living in the United States right now, it doesn't mean that it's beyond redemption, and, you know, that there can be a revival, because it's that golden calf thing where, you know, he was in a very sly way looking at their statues, which were, you know, shocking at, you know, the time, but seeing, gosh, there's something here. They're worshiping something. And I think that we can recognize that, as off base as it might be, but that there is hope in that, because it's that seeking that we all feel. Our hearts are restless, O Lord, until they rest in you. And that wherever we are placed and planted, The Lord has a purpose for us as a kind of Pauline mission to evangelize and bring back. Come back to me, the Lord says to all of us. So just a couple takeaways. Thank you to Christopher West and the Core Institute, the Theology of the Body. That was a fantastic event. And God bless you. As we wrap up this episode, we prepare for Lent and we think about our own journey, just as we came off recently of Advent, knowing that this season will be unduplicated. And sometimes the days can feel ordinary and mundane, but every moment that we gasp in and out and breathe is a miracle. And it's about living a beautiful melody in our lives, even when we don't feel it. It's something the Lord can still redeem. So I want to end in prayer on that note. This is from Celebrating Saints and Seasons, one of my favorite. I've talked about it before. And this is a prayer to get ready for Lent. God of mercy, I can see the purple coming up on the horizon, like a morning sunrise predicting a storm. It is the early warning of the time of rebirth. Lent looms like a spring rain. I can smell it in the air. My soul waits quietly for the onset of the change. Winter death into spring hope. But you, O holy season maker, are not content with the warning signs alone. It is my soul that you want to provoke into a willingness to receive your purple grace. Where will you take me? Lent rain comes to cleanse my heart of the dirt and filth of another year of the journey. Create a clean heart in me, O Lord. In these days before the Lent rain, prepare my ears to hear your words of direction and correction. Soften my spirit so that the rain may fall deep into my heart. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, friends, for being a part of Good Things Radio. If you want Good Things Radio to continue, please consider becoming a GTR Good Friend. And we've got on podbean.com the information right there. If you go to podbean.com or download the app, you can just search for Good Things Radio. And it's so easy to support the program, whether you want to just donate $1 a month, $10 a show. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. But what will also come with that is daily prayer by our family to you, as well as some exclusive content that we're firing up just in time for Lent. There's going to be devotions. I won't say every day, but there will be daily devotions periodically that will only be produced and uploaded for the Podbean patrons. So if you'd consider, we'd be grateful for all your support. Prayer support is just as valuable, and we're grateful. Feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out, share your input, thoughts about the show. What are you doing for Lent? How do you feel? What's your mindset? Let me know. Also, I have to thank my mom for her willingness to be on the program last time. Jenny, Georgia Jenny, one of our Podbean patrons, she's coming to the retreat as well. She said, I second your mom. My mom pointed out that in the beginning of the show, where that Susan Potter clip says, I'm just a housewife who figured it out, which is tongue in cheek. I didn't mean that on purpose. She's like, yeah, you know, I didn't get that either. So I think at some point we'll probably pull it out, but I have to go back and do the arduous task of finding the original clip with the montage and pull that out, which is something my amazing world-class producer could easily do if and when I ever send the clip. So thank you also to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a wonderful producer, and you can find him at cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you for listening to episode 44 of Good Things Radio. Until next time, friends, God bless you. Thank you.